Wait, what? It's St. Patrick's Day? Who knew? In the business news for St. Patrick's Day, bank fears continue to roil Wall Street, and a deeper look at First Republic Bank. Meanwhile, Bank of America made the news today. They say the Fed will look the other way and raise rates next week. Remember the deep freeze 2 years ago in Texas? Well, we've got some new court news to share with you today. As long as we're talking about heating, one commodity has actually gone down in price. Consumers are not happy with Chick-fil-A, and we will share why. We've got the Wall Street Report, and Google is reneging on parental leave. And why? Let's go.
Insight on business, news, and comment with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Tarot International, the premier interpersonal skills, research, and corporate training company. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Tarot, TERO.com. Focus and Find, a high-level, socially responsible search firm helping major corporations in their search for diverse talent, FocusandFind.com. Funding also comes from the National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, an international organization supporting the new and used agricultural and construction parts industry. Learn more at ntpda.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome once again to the Friday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby. Grateful, as always, that you're with us again today. Want to follow us on Twitter, see what's up during the day, evening, nighttime, whatever? You can find us at IOB_NewsHour. Well, there are a couple of similarities between the failed Silicon Valley Bank and the beleaguered First Republic Bank, both of which have roiled Wall Street over the past week. Both banks have pretty wealthy depositors, and those wealthy depositors, according to CNN, have the means to move money quickly. So, when news breaks out about a banking issue, those depositors can cause a run on the institution real quick. First Republic, by the way, is the 14th largest bank in the nation, and when some big banks announced that they were infusing $30 billion to allow the First Republic Bank to stabilize, that doesn't seem to be working. The bank's stock tanked by 25% on Friday. Oh, and one other thing we've learned is that First Republic had an unusually large 111% loan-to-deposit ratio at the end of last year. All of that according to S&P Global. That means it has loaned out more money than it has in deposits. The numbers from Wall Street were ugly today, and they're coming at you in just a bit. In a related story, Reuters is reporting that Bank of America will buy Signature Bank on Monday. In a tweet, Bill Ackerman wrote, quote, "I'm hearing that Bank of America is going to buy Signature Bank on Monday unless and until we can protect uninsured deposits. The cost of capital is going to rise for smaller banks, pushing them to merge or be acquired by the larger banks, and I don't think this is good for America," end quote. Bank of America did not respond to Reuters by the time we hit the studio. Well, it could be the next bitter pill. CNBC is reporting that it's likely the central bank will look the other way and raise interest rates by 0.25% next week. That action, in light of the bank troubles, could further weaken the markets. Rate expectations have been on a rapidly swinging pendulum over the past 2 weeks, varying from a half-point hike to holding the line, and even at one point some talk that the Fed could actually cut rates. However, a consensus has emerged that Fed Chairman Jerome Powell and his fellow central bankers will want to signal that while they are attuned to the financial sector upheaval, it's important to continue the fight to bring down inflation, so we'll see. Remember the deep freeze of 2021 where people in Texas actually froze to death and power was out for an extended time? Yeah, sure you do. You remember that. Well, now Reuters is reporting that the Texas agency that regulates the state's power utilities overstepped its bounds and kept power prices too high. All of this, according to a Texas appeals court ruling. According to the ruling, the Public Utility Commission of Texas exceeded limits on its power by keeping prices at a cap of $9,000 per megawatt during the storm. The court said the commission violated requirements that it use competitive methods to the greatest extent feasible and impose the least impact on competition. The Public Utility Commission is not commenting. Speaking of heating homes and businesses, at least one commodity is going down in price. Investing.com is reporting that the price of natural gas has retreated by 17.6 cents per BTU, or off by about 7%. Why? Well, a mostly warm 2022-2023 winter has led to considerably less heating demand in the United States versus the normal, leaving more gas in storage than initially thought. Responding to the warmth and lackluster storage draws, gas prices plunged from a 14-year high of $10 in August, reaching $7 in December, before trading mostly at mid-$2 levels over the past month. So what should you do? We suggest you keep an eye on your utility bills, because now you know. Chick-fil-A has changed its rewards program, and guess what? The changes do not benefit you, the consumer. Market Insider is reporting that just as Starbucks changed its rewards program last month and now requires customers to use more points to score the same menu items for free, Chick-fil-A will follow suit starting in April. Currently, Chick-fil-A members earn 10, 11, 12, and 13 points per dollar spent at the chain. Now, that's depending on what tier they are at. And the accumulated points can be used to buy, sort of buy, menu items and other rewards. However, after April 4th, Chick-fil-A is increasing the point values of rewards. In a statement to Insider, Chick-fil-A said the increases were a response to current market conditions. Whether that be inflation, bird flu, and or other food shortages is not clear. So you want a sample of how this is all going to work come April 4? In 2021, 8 grilled nuggets took 700 points to score, while the new rewards program offers a mere 5-piece nugget for 800 points. So sorry, loyal customer, you lose. Wall Street was a hot mess again on Friday, with the Dow posting back-to-back weekly losses. It's all got to do with banks. And when it was revealed that there was a bankruptcy filing by Silicon Valley Bank Financial Group and the release of data showing banks borrowed $165 billion from the Federal Reserve over the past week, that was enough to send the markets into another tailspin. The Dow lost 384 points to close at 31,861, while the Nasdaq shed 86 points to close at 11,630, which snapped, by the way, a 4-day winning streak, and the S&P 500 fell by 43 points to finish at 3916. And by the way, West Texas Intermediate crude prices fell again on the fear that the bank saga could start a recession. Oil retreated by over $2 to close at $66.34 a barrel. For the week, the Dow fell by 0.1%, the S&P 500 gained 1.4%, and the Nasdaq climbed 4.4%. The Dow booked back-to-back weekly losses, while the Nasdaq saw its biggest weekly percentage gain since January. And finally, there is this, and this has to do with Google and the newly expanded parental leave that the company is now reneging on? CNBC is reporting that a group of more than 100 former Google workers has asked the tech giant to make a good-faith effort to honor the terms of our original parental and/or disability leave arrangements following their layoffs. In documents shared with CNBC, they say Google stopped paying the remainder of maternity and medical leaves that had been approved before layoffs were announced back in January. In some cases, maternity leaves had just been approved. One woman was notified that she was laid off a week before giving birth. The group known as Laid Off on Leave says it sent 3 letters to Google leadership, but they have not received a response. Last year, Google increased parental leave for full-time employees to 18 weeks for all parents and 24 weeks for birth parents. So why make the cuts in benefits? It could be because Google's net income plummeted 34% to $13.6 billion, falling short of Wall Street expectations of $15.3 billion for the year. That is a wrap. And thanks so much for joining us, for all of us that put this together each and every day. Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing. Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour, is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. And we will be back on Sunday at noon Central Time, and only on News Talk 1540 KXEL with the Business Week in review. Hope to catch you then. Till then, be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.